Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Central College and Humanities Iowa, presenting the new podcast Mid-Americana, Stories from a Changing Midwest. New episodes from Season 1 are available at midamericana.com or wherever podcasts are found.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nevy. Every year, the Iowa Center for the Book selects three books, a book for adults, a teen book, and a book for children, to be the all Iowa Reads selections. This year, they are announcing the All Iowa Reads books for 2020 here on Talk of Iowa. We're going to find out what they are a little later this hour. But first, in 2010, Gail Orcutt developed a persistent cough, one she just couldn't shake. Having never smoked a cigarette in her life, she was shocked to discover that she had lung cancer. The cause is almost certainly exposure to radon. Radon is thought to cause the deaths of 400 Iowans per year. And even though this gas is odorless, invisible, and common, there are things you can do to prevent your exposure. We're going to learn about those things, and Julie Weishaar of the Energy Association of Iowa Schools will join us. But first, we're going to start with Gail Orcutt's story. She is with us now. Hi, Gail.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
And I want to travel back in time to 2010. You were at a really pivotal moment in your life, retiring from a long career in teaching, and you developed this persistent cough. Tell me what you were experiencing.
It was just a cough and a wheeze, but it was in the spring, and I thought allergies were just going to be a little different that season. So I didn't think much about it, and then it just wouldn't go away, and it was constant. So I went to my family doctor, and he listened to my lungs, and he said, they don't sound the same. So he sent me for a CT, and the rest is history.
Well, I had getting that scan, did you even suspect it could be cancer?
No. I have a lot of cancer in my family. We have colon cancer, breast cancer history. But never, ever did I suspect lung cancer. No.
When you got the results, it was the day before, was it your 57th birthday?
That's right. That's right. I felt bad for the doctor. Yeah, it was quite a shock.
What did you think when he told you?
I thought I was going to die pretty quickly. That's what I thought. On the way home, all I could see was a cemetery. It was pretty scary.
Yeah. You went into treatment right away. This was something that the doctor felt he really needed to act very quickly on. What did you go through?
I had my entire left lung removed. The cancer was growing between the two lobes of my left lung. And they said I was young and healthy, and they really didn't want to mess with trying to get enough margins and maybe leaving some cancer behind. So we just took the whole lung. And then I was home. They gave me 5 weeks, I think, to recover. And then I started chemo. But between the surgery and chemo, I read this article titled Non-Smokers and Lung Cancer. And honest to goodness, it was all about radon. And that was the first time I'd ever encountered the word.
Really?
Even though we'd lived in Iowa.
Right.
Yeah.
When you read about radon, did you get your home tested right away?
Right. My husband came home from the golf course, and I said, you need to turn around and go to the hardware store and get a radon test kit. So we tested. It was 6.9, which is entirely unacceptable. And I want your listeners to know, EPA says fix your house at 4 picocuries, but 4 is not acceptable either. Everybody needs their home to be at 2 picocuries or less to be living with an acceptable level of radon.
We'll talk more about what we can do to mitigate radon in our home in a little while. But once you discovered that you had this radon in your home and you started learning about it, what did you learn? What started to make sense to you?
That I probably have been exposed through my entire life. I found out after my mom passed, we tested the house, and it was a 12.
Wow.
And my sister and I had spent a lot of time in the basement bedroom. So that was my first exposure, and it's cumulative. So I have no idea. Some of my classrooms were in the lowest level of the school, and we've lived in a couple different houses. So who knows?
Right. When you got your home tested and discovered that the radon level in your home was high, I assume the next step was to have a radon mitigation system installed in your home. How long did it take to fix the problem or to get it down to an acceptable level?
Oh, 3 or 4 hours. What was interesting was when it came back with a high test, I panicked and thought, well, we've got to move out of this house. No one's going to want to buy this house. And then we learned about mitigation, and it was so simple. The mitigator did a great job, and now our home tests 0.5.
Wow.
So a very acceptable level of radon.
Tell me a little bit about your health, because you did act on that cancer so fast in 2010, but it has returned, right?
Yes, it has. After the surgery and the chemo, I was good for 3 years. And in one of the follow-up visits with my surgeon, he said, there's a 90% chance you're cured. Because actually, when you find lung cancer early, it is curable, usually with surgery. But I have a very rare driver mutation called ALK, and it doesn't want to give up. So in 2013, it showed up in my left hip. So we did some radiation, and I was great for another 3 years. And I just lived my life like I didn't have cancer at all. And in 2016, it came back to my left hip. And this time, there was so much damage between the cancer and the radiation, I had my left hip replaced. And then I found, that's when I found out I was ALK positive. So I started on this oral chemo, which was really great. Instead of doing the really rough chemo, it targets just the cancer, so it left all my good cells alone. So that worked for 30 months, and then it quit working. So we switched to another drug, or oral chemo, and that worked for a little bit. But right now, it's back. I've been stage 4 ever since 2013. So I just keep on keeping on. I'm on a new protocol right now, and we're praying for the best.
This experience has really galvanized you. It has made you want to work hard to get the word out about radon. So you've been doing a lot of advocacy work, reaching out to a lot of people. Do you find that a lot of people in Iowa have never heard of radon?
Yes. People usually fit into three groups. They've never heard of it. They'll say, oh, yeah, we tested when we bought our house. Or they've got it totally confused with carbon monoxide. So I just, every advantage, every time someone asks me to speak, I will speak. Neighborhood associations, PEO, Rotary Club, I speak to groups of healthcare providers, and I've spent a lot of time at the legislature trying to educate them.
I want to bring Julie Weishart into the conversation. Between the two of you, you have a great deal of knowledge about radon, and you can help us understand our risks in our homes. I've been talking with Gail Orcutt, who developed lung cancer because of exposure to radon gas back in 2010. Julie Weishart is with the Energy Association of Iowa Schools. Hello, Julie.
Hi, Charity, and hi, Gail.
Hi, Julie.
Thank you so much for being here. And Julie, why don't you give us the basics? I mean, I already said radon is an odorless gas. It is known to cause cancer. You can't smell it. You can't see it. But it's really common. What is this stuff?
Right. Well, at first, I just want to say it was through Gail's advocacy that I actually got to meet her. We were at an EPA Region 7 meeting, and she was just amazing. And to hear her story really galvanized us. So Radon, just to answer your question, is it's a naturally occurring gas that travels through our Earth's soil. And those who paid maybe more attention in their science or chemistry class than I did may remember that it's on the periodic table of elements. It comes from the decay of uranium. And that's the same uranium used in, you know, the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima. So we know that its decay products are radioactive. So the gas radon itself is not what is actually the harmful part. It's when it decays into what they call radon decay products. It's kind of like dust that you breathe it in and it gets stuck in your lungs. And then that's what emits the radioactive, the bad stuff. So it is natural, though, coming up from the ground. And it means it's everywhere at a very low level, even outside. And so it only becomes dangerous if it's trapped indoors and it decays and is breathed into lungs. So it is the number two cause of lung cancer, of course, after smoking. And it's actually the number one cause of lung cancer among non-smokers.
And the entire state of Iowa is considered to be at high risk for radon gas. Why is that?
You know, it is just our what's underneath us. So when the glaciers came through and everything was creating itself, you know, we have some amazing soil that grows really great things. And then underneath, we just happen to have a lot of uranium decaying. Iowa's not the only state that's a red zone. But of course, we're talking about that today. And the EPA estimates that about 7 in 10 homes in Iowa are above that. Their action level of 4 picocuries per liter. But as Gail said, you know, there are a lot of, like the World Health Organization is suggesting a 2.7. And of course, Gail is saying even at a 2, you know, there are some dangers.
Right. And as you mentioned, Gail, a radon mitigation system can take it down to a very low level quite quickly, right?
Very quickly, yes.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We're going to be back in just a moment. With me today, Gail Orcutt. She is a cancer survivor. She has developed lung cancer because of exposure to radon and become an advocate, a spokesperson to try to spread word of the dangers of radon gas in our homes. Julie Weishaar is also here, executive director of the Energy Association of Iowa Schools, and we'll talk more about radon gas in a moment. Then later this hour, the Iowa Center for the Book will announce the All Iowa Reads selections for 2020. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Central College and Humanities Iowa, presenting the new podcast, Mid-Americana, Stories from a Changing Midwest. New episodes from Season 1 are available at midamericana.com or wherever podcasts are found.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We're talking about radon gas this hour. It is invisible. It has no odor, and it is prevalent. It's also the number two cause of lung cancer in the United States. It causes the death approximately of 400 Iowans every year due to lung cancer. And with me, Julie Weishaar of the Energy Association of Iowa Schools and Gail Orcutt, who developed lung cancer because of radon gas and has become an advocate for finding out more about radon and preventing these diseases, this cancer from radon all over the state of Iowa. And Gail, I want to ask you, once you started working to spread the word about radon gas in Iowa, what became clear to you about what we need to do so more people know about radon and are taking care of this problem?
Yeah, we just we need to get creative and find ways to get the word out. It's there are people all over who just don't know. There are actually some people who think it's a scam, and I'm here to tell them it's not. So, we have to get creative, I think, a little bit more in getting the word out.
It's interesting. I moved back to Iowa in 2010, and I feel like I've seen a lot of campaigns to raise awareness for radon gas. Do you feel like we're not getting through to people?
It comes and goes, I think. Some municipalities like yours require a passive system be installed in a new home build. So that's very proactive. But Budgets are stretched, and I understand. It's just really hard to meet all the needs to get the word out. So.
Well, and Julie, when there's something like radon that we can't see and we can't smell and we can't taste, and maybe the implications are far in the future, it's easy to push it out of our minds. Tell me what kinds of homes, what kinds of buildings are at risk for radon gas in Iowa?
Single
Julie
building.
Or Gail?
Oh, sorry.
Any building, right, Julie?
Yes, all buildings. One of the biggest misconceptions, I guess, is that only old buildings would be elevated with radon. And so far with our school radon training and support system that my organization facilitates for schools, we haven't seen any correlation, new or old. It's kind of half and half. Sometimes newer buildings have more of an issue because they're more energy efficient and they're tighter. Remember, I said that, you know, radon's dangerous when it gets caught and it gets to a high level in a building. So sometimes the new buildings have more of an issue.
It's interesting because I think we think about it as, you know, coming up through cracks in the foundation. And that's true. So a new building would seem to be at lower risk for radon. Julie, why is the risk as high?
Because it just can't, the radon is trapped and can't get out unless you have an actual active mitigation system typically installed. I know when I first started helping schools with this, our school members requested that we help them learn to test for radon themselves. I figured, you know, I probably better walk the talk. So I tested my home, which is fairly new, and didn't think we would have an issue because of that. And we did. And we needed to get it actively mitigated.
And why the focus on schools? I mean, obviously, our children are there. But again, when we think about radon gas, we think about it as coming up through basements. A lot of our schools don't even have basements. So why is your focus particularly on schools?
Right. Well, we do find that the largest contributor to radon exposure is in the home. As Gail mentioned, it is cumulative. So you spend more time at home. You know, you're sleeping at home and those sorts of things. But the second largest contributor really is work or school. And since my organization happens to work with schools, we decided to focus on that in a supportive way. And another misconception is that radon can only occur if someone has a basement. Actually, radon can occur anywhere that there is contact with the earth. So whether you have a basement or a slab foundation or even any kind of a berm on the side of your home, radon can get in.
All right. So if you have a floor.
Yes, if you have a floor.
You can have radon exposure. And Gail, you were mentioning earlier that when your husband came home the day that you read that article about radon, you sent him out to the hardware store to pick up a test. It is easy to test for radon in your home or in the building that you're in, right?
Very easy. You set the kit out for a couple days, send it into the lab. They send you an email and tell you what your level is. And then you know how to act from there.
All right. So, and it's usually a pretty affordable process to get one of the basic kits, right? $15 or $20.
Exactly. Yes.
You can get a more extensive test, though. What would lead somebody to need a more extensive test?
If someone's selling their home and the buyer wants a test, they can have a test done. It costs about $150, but... that's another way to get, I think in 48 hours, they get the results from those tests.
In schools, Julie, is there a challenge to testing for radon? I mean, the schools are used in so many different ways. Is there a rule about, you know, whether the school should be full when you're testing or if you should do it over a break, that kind of thing?
Absolutely, yes. And schools are different because they're so large. They're considered a commercial size building. It's quite different. There's more to track than there is in a home. In a home, you can test yourself by putting one test kit out. In schools, we test every frequently occupied space. So every classroom, every space where anyone is. So they have hundreds of test kits versus just the one. And That's another misconception is I think when they first discovered radon in the 80s and it was a real focus, they suggested testing over the weekends or something when nobody was in a building. But updated protocol is that you need to test while the building is occupied. So with our program, we have schools put their test kits out on a Monday morning. They leave them out until a Friday morning, and then they take them down and send them to the lab. So a challenge is communication is really key. Depending on the age of the students and even the teachers, you know, there's this little envelope hanging up in their room, and sometimes they're a little curious and want to touch it or move it around, and it's a challenge to keep those there so that when Friday comes around, you can get that sent in and not have an artificial high or low.
We're talking about radon gas and the risks it poses to Iowans this hour. You are welcome to join the conversation. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Emma has a question that I think a lot of people have about radon. She says, I work in a 100-year-old building in the basement. If I open my small window every day, will that mitigate any radon buildup? What do you think?
You want me to take this, Gail?
Yeah.
Okay. It depends. It depends on if you're sitting on top of an actual crack in the ground where radon is coming up. That could actually act as a chimney. They call it the chimney effect, and it could pull more radon in. If you're not sitting on top of that, it potentially could leave it out. But we need to make sure that the building is safe for everyone. So chances are, radon is a heavy gas, so it will be at a highest level at your lowest level of the building. So if the basement is elevated, depending on what that number is, then the first floor is going to be elevated as well, and although it'll be a little less. So we need to get that fixed. When we do test for radon, we have what we call closed building conditions, where no one is allowed to open windows, and outside doors are just used regularly, not propped open, because we want to get an accurate result. And wintertime is actually the best time to test for radon. That's, you know, when we have our furnaces on, we're closed up, and a winter has a higher level. So we want to be sure that during that time, we have the safest level that we can.
All right. So this would be the perfect time to do a test.
Absolutely. Yes. This is when we train our schools during the fall, so that they can plan ahead with their school radon plan and plan their week and be ready to go. Yep. Wintertime is best.
Now, there are rules, OSHA rules, that kind of thing, that are supposed to keep us safe at work. And I know both of you have been working with the Iowa legislature to draft some legislation. Are there laws that can protect us against radon at work if our building hasn't been tested or doesn't have a mitigation system? Are there laws that tell us that it should?
There are not. Right now in Iowa, the only law for schools is kind of just a rule through the Department of Human Services for preschools and daycares that are licensed by them. They need to test every 2 years. We've been working with 52 school districts in Iowa who are voluntarily saying, you know what? Yes, our preschool kids are important, and so are all of the rest of our students and teachers. So they're voluntarily testing their buildings. Gail, I don't know if there's anything else you want to add to that.
No, that's about it. We're trying to get a law passed that would require schools to do this, and I'm very excited because it's funnel proof right now. It didn't go. It didn't get voted on last year, but I think early this next session we'll get it through. It has great bipartisan support. All the lawmakers I've talked to they're right there, and they want it done. So, and requiring schools to test, part of the law says they have to have a page on their website to inform parents about radon levels and things, and I'm I'm really excited once they get this page up that then families will start testing their homes as well, because that's where we, schools are great, but that's where we really need to pick up the slack and get more families testing.
Well, and Gail, you mentioned, I'm in Iowa City, you mentioned that it's a municipality that has some rules about radon. Tell me more about that.
Oh.
No, not specifically Iowa City, but, you know, so there's not a statewide law that is requiring radon mitigation, but some municipalities have taken steps?
Right. And in their code, they've adopted, I can't remember the name of it right now, but yeah, they're doing it on their own and requiring passive systems. The problem I have with that is a lot of people have passive systems and they think they're active systems. Mm. So they need to keep testing every 2 years and make sure they've got that level under 2.
All right. So even if you have a radon mitigation system in your home, you should still test. You should make sure that it's working and you
absolutely
should know what it's supposed to be doing.
Yes. And I want the listeners to know that the average cost is about $1,500. And I don't know how many radon systems I could have paid for now between all my drugs and treatments and everything. But it seems like a lot of money, but it's a lifesaver. And the other great thing is if you have a Flex account or a health savings account, you can use that money. Usually you can use that money to pay for your mitigation system.
I want to go to the phones. Rob is on the line in Altoona. Hi, Rob.
Hello.
Hi. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I do remodeling in the Altoona area, and I work with a lot of realtors. And I think your guest will have to confirm, realtors have to give a buyer some information about radon.
Yes.
And what,
yes,
a lot of times what they're doing is they do it in such a passive way, and this that they don't want to take a chance of losing a sale. So yes. I've heard, you know, realtors say, you know, it's not like carbon monoxide. If you have carbon monoxide, you have carbon monoxide. If you have radon, you might get cancer. You might not. Mm. There might be
so
radon.
Like,
there might not be.
You feel realtors may be talking about it but aren't giving the full story. Gail, do you want to respond to that?
I do, because I've met some awesome realtors who actually insist that their clients have the house tested before they finish up on the sale. So we've got them both ways, but yeah.
And what are the rules that guide realtors?
Right now, when you're selling a home, you have to disclose if you've ever tested the home for radon. That's basically it. And it's just one question on a page with lots of different questions. One thing Minnesota and Illinois now do is they have a separate page just about radon. So it makes it a little bit more important. And their testing and mitigation have gone way up because of that. So that's another thing we might have to look at
right,
for the legislature.
We talked about the legislation to get testing to be mandatory in schools. What other laws do you feel Iowa needs to pass to keep people safe? Gail?
I would love to see a test required before a sale and give the homeowner lots of leeway. Like, if you know you're going to sell your home, you've got a 2-year window to do the tests, just like you would have to test every 2 years. Let's see. Now I can't think of the other legislation, but
Julie, do you want to jump in there?
I just am mostly aware of school legislation. I would love to jump in if I could, but I cannot.
All right. Well, we have about 30 seconds left. And Gail, you've been sharing your story while you've been fighting cancer for so many mm-hmm. years. When you talk to people, what do you hope they take away from your story?
Just that this is real. It's Iowa. It's just something we have to deal with nature. And Florida, they have to put the shutters up and do all kinds of prep for a hurricane. All we need to do is test their homes and mitigate, and we've dealt with Mother Nature. It's life-threatening. It's a serious problem with a simple solution.
Gail, I hope that this regime that you're trying now brings you back to health. I'm sorry you've had to have this struggle, but thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Gail Orcutt developed lung cancer back in 2010 because of exposure to radon. She has become an advocate so that all others in Iowa can learn about the dangers of this carcinogen. Julie Weishaar has also been here. Hello, or thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you.
Julie Weishaar of the Energy Association of Iowa Schools. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to find out what the All Iowa Reads books are for 2020. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.